Heart of My Monster takes readers on a thrilling journey through the dangerous world of organized crime, where love and vengeance intertwine in unexpected ways. This dark romance by USA Today bestselling author Rena Kent has captivated readers worldwide with its complex characters and intense emotional depth. Celebrities like Sarah J. Maas have praised Kent's ability to create morally ambiguous characters that readers can't help but root for, despite their flaws. The book has developed a cult following on BookTok, with fans particularly drawn to the complex relationship between Carol and Sasha, two broken souls finding wholeness in each other's darkness. The story opens on a snowy Christmas evening in Moscow, where 16-year-old Sasha Ivanova's life shatters irreversibly. During what should have been a joyous family celebration, armed men storm their estate, methodically executing her parents, grandparents, and extended family members. Sasha survives only because her young cousins, Misha and Nina, instinctively shield her with their bodies as bullets tear through the dining room. For hours, she lies motionless beneath their lifeless forms, their blood seeping into her holiday dress, while the killers ensure no one remains alive. This traumatic experience fundamentally reshapes Sasha's psyche, transforming a once carefree teenager into someone consumed by vengeance. The narrative then shifts to Kirill Morozov, whose calculated ascension through the Russian Bratva's ranks reveals a man of exceptional strategic prowess. At his own wedding to Kristina Petrov, a union arranged to merge two powerful criminal families, Kirill orchestrates a shocking turn of events. Minutes before the ceremony, he deliberately exposes Kristina's secret relationship with his younger brother Konstantin. But rather than responding with the expected violence, he transforms potential chaos into opportunity. In front of the assembled crime families, Kirill negotiates his elevation to Pekhan of the Bratva, demonstrating his ability to turn personal humiliation into professional triumph. This masterful manipulation showcases Kirill's trademark emotional detachment, a man who views relationships as chess pieces in a greater game of power. Yet beneath this cold exterior lies a profound contradiction, his deep, almost obsessive connection to Sasha, whom we learn is his wife of 5 years. Their relationship, shrouded in secrecy to protect her, represents the only genuine emotional attachment in Kirill's life. When news arrives of Sasha's death in a calculated bombing of her safe house in Switzerland, Kirill's carefully constructed world begins to disintegrate. The man who built his empire on logical decisions and emotional distance finds himself undone by grief. His reaction reveals the depth of their bond and the extent to which Sasha had transformed him. "The world has always been monotone to me, either black or gray, but Sasha brought color to my life. Now she's gone, leaving a bottomless pit in my heart," Kirill confesses to his closest advisor, marking the first time anyone has seen the Pekhan's facade crack. This loss becomes the catalyst that sets the story's main events in motion, as Kirill embarks on a ruthless quest to uncover who targeted his wife, revealing that even the most controlled individuals can be driven to chaos by love and loss.
What Kirill doesn't know is that Sasha is very much alive, recovering in a remote safe house while nursing both physical and emotional wounds. She believes Kirill orchestrated the bombing to eliminate her after she accidentally revealed her true identity as an Ivanova during an intimate moment, the surviving daughter of the family his organization supposedly massacred years ago. This devastating misunderstanding forms the central conflict, two people bound by deep love, now transformed into mortal enemies by circumstances and carefully crafted lies. Sasha's brother Anton, who had been methodically working his way up Kirill's ranks while posing as Yuri after eliminating the real Yuri in a calculated move years before, systematically reinforces her belief in Kirill's guilt. He presents fabricated evidence, altered surveillance footage, and manipulated witness accounts to cement Sasha's conviction that Kirill personally ordered their family's execution. Meanwhile, Kirill drowns himself in vodka and work, mourning Sasha's supposed death, while unknowingly signing orders that will eventually cross paths with her carefully orchestrated revenge plans from her hideout in the harsh Siberian wilderness. The narrative brilliantly explores how perception shapes reality through a series of masterfully crafted parallel scenes. Both characters operate on incomplete information, making seemingly rational decisions that actually drive them further apart. When Sasha witnesses Anton brutally interrogating Maxim, Kirill's most trusted lieutenant, who was secretly trying to broker peace with the Balsky organization, she begins to notice discrepancies in her brother's version of events. The torture scene, particularly Maxim's unwavering loyalty despite unimaginable pain, plants the first seeds of doubt in her mind. This moral ambiguity permeates every layer of the novel, challenging readers to question their own assumptions about truth and justice. No character emerges untainted. Kirill's hands are stained with blood from his organization's activities, yet he shows unexpected mercy to his enemy's children. Sasha's quest for vengeance leads her to commit increasingly questionable acts while still maintaining her core humanity. Even Anton, positioned as a manipulator, reveals moments of genuine concern for his sister's well-being, though his methods remain ruthless. The author weaves a complex tapestry of trauma responses, showing how past wounds shape present actions. Each character's perspective feels justified within their own context, creating a narrative where truth becomes as shifting as the Siberian snow. Through carefully placed flashbacks and parallel storylines, we see how easily truth can be distorted when filtered through the lenses of trauma, betrayal, and desperate need for survival.
When Maxim escapes and informs Kirill that Sasha is alive, the story reaches a pivotal turning point. Their reunion unfolds in a remote cabin during a snowstorm, a fitting backdrop for the storm of emotions about to erupt. Sasha points a hunting rifle at Kirill, her hands steady, but her eyes betraying a mix of hatred and lingering hurt. The years of believing she had abandoned her to die fuel her rage. Yet when she pulls the trigger, she only grazes his arm, unable to deliver a fatal shot despite her conviction. This moment reveals the complex emotions that still bind them together. Kirill, bleeding but undeterred, moves toward her with the same predatory grace that once made her fall for him. His eyes never leave hers as he declares, "Till death do us part," words that now sound more like a threat than a vow. He leverages Anton's capture to force Sasha into a deal, 3 months together, after which he'll grant her a divorce. Though she agrees to save her brother, Kirill's possessive gaze and calculated smile reveal he has no intention of ever letting her go. "I'm not your wife, Kirill. I'm your future ex-wife," Sasha declares, establishing the tension that will drive their relationship forward. Her words carry the weight of their shared history, the passionate marriage that ended in betrayal, the years of mourning, and the hardened woman she's become. The power dynamics between them shift constantly like a dangerous dance. Sasha maintains her independence through calculated acts of defiance, refusing to share his bed, speaking only in Russian when she knows he prefers English, wearing the locket from her presumed dead lover. Kirill responds by exerting control in increasingly possessive ways, stationing guards outside her door, appearing at her workplace unannounced, filling her closet with clothes of his choosing. Yet beneath their battle of wills lies an undeniable connection, one that manifests in lingering glances, accidental touches that spark with electricity, and moments when their shared past breaks through their carefully constructed walls. Neither can fully deny the pull between them, even as their complicated history threatens to destroy them both. Their forced cohabitation becomes a pressure cooker of unresolved emotions, desire warring with distrust, love tangling with hatred, and the ghost of their past happiness haunting every interaction. Each day brings them closer to either reconciliation or destruction, with neither willing to surrender first.
As Sasha reluctantly returns to Kirill's home, she's surprised by the genuine grief her death caused his family. Karina, Kirill's sister, embraces Sasha with tears, while household staff reveal how Kirill spiraled into violence and despair, believing she was dead. During their time together, layers of deception gradually peel away. Kirill takes Sasha to a remote cabin where he shows a different side of himself, cooking for her, bringing her flowers, taking her hiking, giving her massages. This vulnerability creates space for genuine connection, though Sasha remains wary, afraid to hope this gentler version of Kirill will last. This version of Kirill terrifies me because I'm afraid to hope it will last. Every morning, I wake dreading the honeymoon phase will end and we'll return to being enemies. Their physical relationship becomes a battlefield where both vulnerability and power are exchanged. In one particularly intense scene, Kirill's jealousy erupts when he believes Sasha is attracted to Victor. The resulting encounter is both aggressive and passionate, revealing how their relationship blurs the line between possession and protection. What makes their dynamic compelling is how they gradually recognize and accept each other's darkness. Kirill doesn't try to fix Sasha's trauma or tame her strength, while Sasha understands Kirill's possessiveness stems from fear of loss rather than mere control. This mutual acceptance of flaws creates a foundation for genuine intimacy that transcends their violent beginnings. The Christmas season represents a transformative emotional journey for Sasha. Having lost her entire family during a Christmas dinner massacre years ago, the holiday season had become an annual reminder of her deepest trauma, a time she typically spent alone, haunted by memories of gunfire shattering what should have been a peaceful family celebration. The simple sight of Christmas decorations or the sound of carols would trigger intense anxiety attacks, leading her to completely withdraw during December. When Kirill reluctantly agrees to celebrate Christmas with her, it marks a significant milestone in her healing journey. Initially resistant due to his own complicated relationship with holidays, he demonstrates remarkable growth by recognizing how meaningful this step is for Sasha's recovery. His decision to embrace the celebration, despite his self-proclaimed Grinch status, shows how deeply he's come to prioritize her emotional well-being over his own discomfort. The surprise Christmas gathering Kirill arranges at their snow-covered cabin reveals layers of thoughtfulness. He carefully incorporates Russian holiday traditions, like serving Olivier salad and leaving gifts under a New Year's tree, while respecting American customs Sasha remembers from her childhood. His family's presence fills the cabin with warmth and laughter, creating a protective circle of love around Sasha as she faces her fears. Each small detail, from hand-picked ornaments to family recipes, shows remarkable emotional intelligence from a man previously defined by his calculating nature. The moment Sasha whispers, "Shchastlivogo Rozhdestva, Luchik," Merry Christmas, to Kirill, becomes especially poignant. Using his Russian nickname, meaning little ray of light, she acknowledges how he's gradually illuminated the darkest corners of her trauma. The tender exchange, spoken in his native tongue, symbolizes their deep connection and her growing ability to embrace joy again. This section powerfully demonstrates how trauma recovery often requires not just avoiding triggers, but actively reclaiming them. Through careful support and patient understanding, Kirill helps Sasha create new Christmas memories that don't erase her painful past, but exist alongside it, showing how healing doesn't mean forgetting, but rather building something new from the ashes of loss. Their celebration becomes a testament to resilience, proving that even the most wounded hearts can learn to embrace joy again when supported by unconditional love and understanding. Midway through the story, Sasha discovers she's 15 weeks pregnant with Kirill's son during a routine medical check following a minor car accident. This revelation creates a complex dilemma. She desperately wants Kirill to love her for herself, not out of obligation to their unborn child. She confides in Christina, who becomes her sole confidant and support system, but keeps the pregnancy secret from Kirill. Her changing behavior, sudden aversions to certain foods, unexplained fatigue, and protective instincts create subtle tension in their relationship. Despite putting my body through bombing, stress, and heartache, this little fighter survived, Sasha marvels, looking at the ultrasound. The image of her child's heartbeat becomes a source of strength, reminding her daily of life's resilience. She begins secretly preparing for motherhood, reading parenting books late at night, and hiding prenatal vitamins among her regular supplements. Her pregnancy represents hope amid chaos, a new beginning untainted by the blood feud between their families. The child growing inside her becomes a symbol of possibility, transcending the violence and betrayal that marked both their lives. Yet, it also severely complicates her plan to leave Kirill after their 3-month agreement ends. The child binds them together in ways neither anticipated, forcing both to reconsider their futures and challenging their individual definitions of freedom and responsibility. This plotline explores the transformative power of parenthood, how the prospect of creating a family can heal generational wounds. For Sasha, who lost her entire family in a single night of violence, the baby represents a chance to rebuild what was taken from her. She finds herself unconsciously planning holiday traditions and imagining birthday celebrations, trying to recreate the warmth she once knew. For Kirill, who never experienced healthy family dynamics in his mob-connected upbringing, it offers redemption and purpose beyond power and control. His own father's emotional absence looms large in his mind, making him question his capacity for nurturing. The pregnancy also highlights the stark contrast between their worlds, Sasha's desire for normalcy and stability clashing with Kirill's dangerous lifestyle. Every close call and violent encounter now carries double weight as Sasha silently guards not just her own life, but their child's future. The secret becomes increasingly difficult to maintain as her body changes and her protective instincts grow stronger, leading to several near revelations that heighten the story's tension. The novel's climax delivers a series of devastating revelations about the true architects of the Ivanov family massacre. In a tense confrontation at an abandoned warehouse on the outskirts of Moscow, Yulia, Konstantin and Kirill's mother, and Albert, Sasha's uncle, trap Sasha and Victor in an elaborate ambush. As rain pounds against the metal roof, the truth finally emerges through a series of bitter confessions. Albert himself orchestrated the massacre of his own family, driven by decades of festering jealousy and thwarted ambition. His partnership with Yulia stemmed from her own vendetta, a desperate need for revenge after her passionate affair with Sasha's uncle Anatoly ended in humiliation. This shocking twist forces a complete re-examination of the story's central conflict. The evidence pointing to Kirill and his organization was carefully fabricated, a smokescreen designed to hide the betrayal festering within Sasha's own bloodline. The revelation comes to its horrific crescendo when Albert, in a display of cold-blooded cruelty, executes Sasha's grandmother Elena before their eyes. The elderly woman's final words, "You were always the snake in our garden," haunt the scene. "He killed our family for power," Sasha realizes in horror, her voice breaking. "He hated being overlooked for my father, living in his shadow. The attempts on Anton's life, the sabotaged brake lines on my car, the poisoned tea, it was all him, trying to eliminate the last of our bloodline." The ensuing firefight transforms the warehouse into a war zone. Bullets shatter windows and ricochet off steel beams as alliances shift in real time. Multiple characters sustain injuries in the chaos, culminating in Sasha taking a bullet to the abdomen. She collapses in Victor's arms, blood seeping through her clothes, her last thought being of her unborn child. When Sasha regains consciousness in Moscow's premier private hospital 3 days later, she learns two crucial things. Her baby survived the trauma, and Kirill, the man she'd been raised to view as her mortal enemy, had stationed his most ruthless enforcers throughout the hospital, threatening anyone who provided less than exceptional care with severe consequences. He even flew in a specialist from Switzerland to oversee her recovery. This section masterfully subverts expectations about family loyalty and protection. The supposed safety of blood ties proves poisonous, as those entrusted with Sasha's protection, her own flesh and blood, were secretly orchestrating her destruction. Meanwhile, Kirill, the alleged monster of her childhood nightmares, emerges as her most dedicated guardian, challenging everything she thought she knew about loyalty and redemption. The revelation forces both characters and readers to confront uncomfortable truths about how family ties can both nurture and destroy. The novel's resolution weaves together multiple threads of healing and redemption for all characters. Anton and Maxim finally confront their long-suppressed feelings for each other, their love strengthened by their shared commitment to raising Mike, a young boy who came under Anton's protection during earlier events. Together, they embark on an ambitious plan to transform the Ivanov family business, steering it away from its criminal roots toward legitimate enterprises in technology and real estate development. This transformation symbolizes their own journey from darkness to light. Konstantin, having survived near-fatal wounds from the climactic confrontation, finds unexpected joy in domestic life with Christina. Their expected child becomes a symbol of hope and renewal, marking a stark contrast to the violence that previously defined their existence. The former enforcer discovers that true strength lies not in wielding power, but in protecting and nurturing family. The emotional core of the resolution centers on Kirill and Sasha's reconciliation. When Kirill confronts Sasha about concealing her pregnancy, the tension builds to a breaking point. What appears to be another step toward their divorce reveals itself as Kirill's carefully orchestrated test of their bond. In the most raw and vulnerable moment of the entire novel, Kirill strips away his carefully maintained facade of control. "I don't only love you, I'm nothing without you." His offer to abdicate his position as Pakhan, the very power base he spent his life building, demonstrates the profound depth of his love, proving that Sasha means more to him than the empire he's created. Sasha's response reveals her own growth and understanding. Rather than accepting his offer to step down, she refuses this sacrifice, recognizing that being Pakhan isn't just Kirill's role, it's fundamental to his identity. Her confession that her love never wavered, despite their struggles, leads to their mutual promise of unwavering commitment. This moment transforms their relationship from one of power dynamics and control to true partnership. The epilogue, set 18 months later during Christmas celebrations, provides an intimate glimpse into their transformed life. Kirill observes the scene at their home, now filled with warmth and laughter, where their son Vaughn plays among family members. The hardened crime boss finds himself moved by simple domestic moments, his son's first steps, Sasha's gentle humming of lullabies, the way morning light catches her hair as she feeds their child. These quiet moments reveal how completely love has reshaped his world. His final reflection, "I'm hers, she's fucking mine, until death do us part," echoes their wedding vows but carries new weight. What began as possessive words of ownership have evolved into a profound declaration of belonging and commitment, completing their journey from a marriage of convenience to one of deep, transformative love. What makes Heart of My Monster so compelling is its unflinching exploration of darkness and love. Neither Kirill nor Sasha are traditional heroes. Both have committed violence, harbored vengeance, and manipulated others. Yet their love doesn't require them to abandon these darker aspects of themselves. Instead, they find acceptance in each other's shadows. Kirill doesn't need Sasha to be a perfect, gentle wife, and she doesn't require him to abandon his ruthless nature. They understand each other's monsters and choose to love the whole person, darkness included. This portrayal challenges romantic conventions that often demand characters be redeemed or fixed by love. Kirill remains possessive and sometimes cruel. Sasha keeps her fierce independence and capacity for violence. Their relationship works not because they change each other fundamentally, but because they create space where both can exist authentically. Two once broken people who found wholeness together. This description captures the essence of their journey. Their love doesn't erase their scars, but provides context where those scars make sense. In each other, they find not just passion, but recognition, the profound relief of being truly seen and accepted. Through Kirill and Sasha's complex journey, Heart of My Monster offers a powerful meditation on how love can thrive in unlikely places, even between people shaped by trauma, vengeance, and betrayal. Their story reminds us that sometimes the people who understand our darkness best are those who have walked through their own.